Well, friends, Friday was a dark day for Jesus. He suffered in unimaginable ways. Looking at the cross, we know that he suffered physically. He was punched and kicked, hit with sticks and flogged, pierced with nails and gored with a spear. And rather than retaliate, he absorbed every drop of violence poured out onto his body by people who were overcome with hatred and evil. And this all ended in his death. The pain of suffocation, the wooziness of bleeding out, and all of the shock, uncertainty, and fear that comes with it. And we don't talk about it very much, but Jesus also suffered emotionally. Has anybody here ever been betrayed? Well, Jesus was betrayed by two of his best friends, one because of money and one because of fear. Have you ever felt used by people? Many in the crowds that followed Jesus while he was feeding, healing, and helping them had a chance to save his life, but when Jesus could no longer do anything for them, they told Pilate to free a criminal named Barabbas and to crucify Jesus. Have you ever felt abandoned? At the end, just about everyone abandoned Jesus. Have you ever been afraid? Well, Jesus was so anxious thinking about his own death in the Garden of Eden that his sweat was like drops of blood. Have you ever felt alone? Like when you were at your worst, that no one cared about you? When Jesus was agonizing about the torture he would endure on the cross, he asked his friends to pray for him, and they fell asleep. Have you ever been falsely accused of anything? Have you ever been a victim of injustice? Well, Jesus was falsely accused too, then arrested, tried, and convicted because of the lies that people told about him. And in the greatest miscarriage of justice of all time, this innocent man was wrongly executed as a common criminal. Have you ever been bullied, ridiculed, or humiliated? The religious leaders blindfolded Jesus and passed him around in a circle as they laughed at him and randomly punched him, saying, "Hey, Jesus, who just hit you? You're a prophet, so prophesy." The Roman soldiers mocked Jesus as a wannabe king, draping a purple robe over his naked body and piercing his scalp with a crown of thorns as they spit in his face and pretended to bow down in front of him, saying, "Hail! Hail to the King of the Jews." And it wasn't just the cries of Jesus that echoed through the halls of the royal palace, but the roaring laughter of the soldiers as they beat him. Then when he was hanging on the cross as a public spectacle, people walked by and hurled insults at him. Even the religious leaders who were supposed to be the embodiment of piety and morality mocked him, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself." But the most intense suffering that Jesus endured was spiritual. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that Jesus literally bore our sins in his body on the cross. And I just want you to think about this for a minute. Think about the worst thing that you've ever done in your life. Think about how it made you feel, how it weighed you down with guilt and shame. Think about the pain that it caused you and the pain that it caused others. Now, imagine all of that guilt, shame, and pain being transferred to the body of Jesus as he hung on the cross. Imagine him absorbing it and feeling it all the way through. Now, don't just imagine the worst thing you've ever done, but everything you have ever done. And imagine Jesus absorbing all of that guilt, shame, and pain. And imagine Jesus doing this for every person who has ever lived and ever will live. It is unimaginable. We cannot even begin to grasp the depth and breadth of all of that spiritual suffering, let alone one person being strong enough to absorb it all. But Jesus did this for you and for me. And in his last moments of life, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And here we see that Jesus experienced the God-forsakenness that we deserved so that we would never have to feel God-forsaken. Yes, Friday was a very difficult day for Jesus. But why are we talking about this on Easter Sunday? I mean, haven't we already done this in the Lenten series? Didn't we already talk about this on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday? Shouldn't we be talking about the resurrection, about victory and joy? Yes, we should. But when we talk about victory, we are faced with two questions. Victory over what? And victory for who? And it's only by looking at the cross that we understand victory over what? Because whatever Jesus suffers on the cross, he overcomes in his resurrection. Did you hear what I just said, church? That whatever Jesus suffers on the cross, he overcomes in his resurrection. And there are probably some survivors here this morning that know what I'm talking about. Some overcomers who know the thrill of victory, but only after the agony of defeat. So who has been to hell and back this morning and lived to tell the story? Jesus has. Jesus experienced the depth and the fullness of emotional pain, but emotional pain did not have the last word because Jesus overcame it in the resurrection. Betrayal and abandonment didn't have the last word, and neither did greed or exploitation, which were the reasons why he was betrayed in the first place. Fear and loneliness didn't have the last word, and neither did anxiety or depression. Persecution and injustice did not have the last word, and neither did intimidation or humiliation. And because Jesus experienced the full depth of physical pain, that didn't defeat him either, nor did it turn him away from his mission to save the world. And this means that hatred and violence did not have the last word either. Are you guys awake? Somebody say amen. Not even death, which seems so devastating and final, would have the last word. Because when they laid his body in the tomb and Jesus looked like a giant failure, God vindicated him and his message by raising him to new life. And most importantly, sin, evil, and God-forsakenness did not have the last word because Jesus absorbed it all and overcame it with the power of love. The devil threw the kitchen sink at him and unleashed every evil principality and power to attack him on the cross to defeat the salvation that he came to bring you and me. And it looked like the devil had won on Friday. But then Sunday came and Jesus had the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Jesus was victorious on the cross and victorious in the resurrection, showing us that good is stronger than evil, that love is stronger than hate, that life is stronger than death. Because humiliation and injustice and violence threatened to extinguish the light of the world. But the bright rays bursting from the empty tomb proved that you can only mock God's justice for so long until you reap what you sow. And just like so many people tried to make a mockery of Jesus, Jesus made a mockery of the devil. He walked out of that tomb, he danced on the grave, and he said, "Not today, Satan, because nothing can defeat the power of our great God." And did you know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you? Jesus was victorious in the power of God's love. And you can be too. And this is the good news this morning. Looking at the cross, we see exactly what Jesus has victory over. He has victory over everything that would separate us from God and keep us stuck in suffering and pain. Jesus fully assumes every aspect of human life so that he could overcome it in the resurrection. But this victory was not just for him. It was for you too. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus died to save himself. The Bible says that Jesus died to save you. He assumed all the suffering and pain and overcame it in the resurrection to set you free for wholeness, for peace, love, and joy in the Holy Spirit, for eternal life. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may have new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." Has anybody here been set free from sin? And this means that it's not just Jesus who is victorious, but all who are united to Jesus in faith are victorious too. Are you willing to die to yourself? If you are willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus, then you can be victorious over betrayal and abandonment. Who's still stuck in betrayal and resentment and anger? You can be victorious over fear, anxiety, and depression. You can be victorious over humiliation and deception, injustice and violence. You can be victorious over the fear of death. And perhaps most importantly, you can be victorious over the powers of sin and evil that wreak havoc in your life and hurt the people that you love the most. You can be victorious over that addiction. You can be victorious over that feeling that you'll never be good enough. You can be victorious over the fear that you've peaked and that you'll never get better. Jesus is victorious, and you can be victorious too. And this is the good news of the resurrection. Friends, you have already been saved. Did you know that? You have already been set free. Jesus has already accomplished your victory, and he offers it to you as a gift every single day that you are privileged enough to take another breath. And you receive this gift by trusting what Jesus has already done for you, surrendering your life to him and living as if the victory were true, because it is. There was once an American soldier who was held captive in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in World War II. He and his fellow soldiers waited in isolation, wondering if they would ever make it home. One day, they overheard, as their captors were listening to news on a shortwave radio, that the Allied forces had won. The war was over, and the hope of freedom began to settle in. But as they looked around at the conditions in their cell and throughout the camp around them, everything appeared the same. They were still in prison, and their captors still seemed to be in charge. It would be weeks before the Allied forces would arrive to set them free. But in the meantime, nothing really changed, except that victory had already been secured. And for them, that made all the difference in the world. Their outlook completely changed, and they came to see themselves as people who had already been freed and began rejoicing in their prison cell. With their hope restored, they smiled, laughed, sang songs, and began to live in the freedom that they knew the Allied forces had already secured for them. And in many ways, you and I are like those prisoners. We hear the message. Jesus has won the victory, and we have been set free from the powers of sin, evil, and death. But often, we look around and everything seems the same. We hear the message and we are left with a question. Will you believe it? Not believing it in the sense of checking off a list of required church doctrines, but believing it in the sense of trusting it, really trusting the good news that Jesus has set you free, trusting it enough to change the way that you see yourself and the rest of the world, trusting it enough to surrender your life to the one who purchased your freedom, trusting it enough to start living every day like it was actually true, because it is. Friends, the principalities and powers of this world want to deceive you into thinking that this message is too good to be true. Are you awake? That you are still a prisoner in darkness with no hope. But faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So even when we still feel like a prisoner, even when we look around and everything still looks the same, we do not fall into despair and give up hope, but we say no to the darkness and live our lives trusting as if we have been set free, and we claim the victory that Jesus has already secured for us in his cross and resurrection. The battle has been won, and we can start living into our freedom right now in open defiance of an enemy that has already been defeated. Who's with me, church? So what's next? What's next for you? Do you believe this good news? I mean, do you really believe it? Do you believe it in the sense that you trust it so much that you're willing to give your life to Jesus? If so, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. Or maybe you believed this good news at some point, but you stopped trusting it and you gave in to the idea that you would always be the kind of person that you don't want to be. Maybe you need a fresh dose of hope to pierce the darkness and remind you that you can change. You can heal. You can grow. You can be joyful and content. Or maybe you already trust this good news in every aspect of your life, except for one. And even here, you want to trust it, but fear and futility keep you stuck. Stuck in that one sin that just won't go away, that one attitude, habit, or hang-up that feels like an ever-present thorn in your side. And maybe you need to hear that Jesus died and rose from the dead to set you free from that sin too, and that you can have victory in this area of your life if you trust the good news one day at a time and surrender it to God. What's next for you? Only you know. I want to invite everyone here this morning to close your eyes, to bow your heads and close your eyes. I know there are some people here because you got dragged by a spouse or family member. You might not be praying people. That's okay. We just ask that you bow your head and close your eyes out of respect for those around you. And I want you to pay attention to what's going on in your heart and mind right now. What might God be trying to say to you? Is God prompting you to take your next step toward victory this morning? For those of you who are hearing the good news for the first time, or at least hearing it for the first time in a way that makes sense, in a way that's compelling, maybe you want to give your life to Christ this morning. Or maybe you received the good news earlier in life but have stopped believing and are being led to reclaim this truth about your life in Christ. Friends, you can commit to Jesus. You can recommit your faith and leave this morning with your head held high. And if you want to accept Christ this morning or recommit to following Jesus, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. And everyone has their eyes closed so that you don't need to be afraid of embarrassment. No one's going to ask you to come forward or stand up or give a speech. I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand as a way of saying yes to Jesus. So with every head bowed and everyone's eyes closed out of respect for others, if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus or recommit to your faith this morning, I just invite you to slip up your hand right now. God sees you. There's hands going up all over the place. God sees all of you, my friends. Amen. Now, I want to lead all of us in a prayer, and I want everyone here to repeat it with me so that no one feels singled out. But I want you to know that if you're saying this prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, and you mean it in your heart, God will honor your decision this morning. God will forgive you of all of your sins and put you on a new path to peace, love, and joy. And so I'd invite you to pray with me, repeating after me. Gracious God, I thank you for loving me, and I thank you for Jesus. I know I've made mistakes, that I have failed you, that I have failed myself, and I ask that you forgive me of all of my sins and give me a second chance. God, I know I cannot save myself. Only you can do that. So I ask you to rescue me. Lift the burdens of guilt and shame. Show me where I need to make amends. And help me to find my next step in following Jesus. I surrender my life to him and commit to following where he leads. Put people in my life who will teach me, guide and encourage me as I follow Jesus. Heal my hurts and change my heart so that I can love you and others as you have loved me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey everyone, it's Pastor Marg, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I also want to thank First United Methodist Church of Cocoa Beach, which helped make this ministry possible. If you would like to make a donation to the church, go to our church website, fumccb.com. Also, if you're in town, I hope that you will visit one of our services in person so that we'll have an opportunity to meet. May God bless you as you find your next steps in following Jesus.